Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. We are back. My name is Joe Kuzma. That over there is a one Mr. Brian E. Roach. And Brian, no more new football games, at least for the Steelers to look forward to. And you know, that makes me sad. And now we've got all kinds of other things to ponder and speculate upon. But we did get a little bit of bonus football this year. I guess we could call it what it is. I know a lot of people in the comments are of the variety of like, hey, this is Tomlin's fault, this is that fault, but those aren't the things we're going to discuss today. But I want to start off our show by first asking, how are you feeling, my friend?
I'm great. I'm fantastic. I ran 100 miles already this year. I'm awesome. Ooh,
100 miles. How often are you changing running shoes there, my friend?
I'm still wearing the same running shoes I bought last February.
Get out of town. How many miles have you put on those things? What kind are they?
I don't remember what they're called.
He's just running lovely. His bare feet.
No. No.
Especially not on trails, right?
I don't even like to walk in my bare feet.
Oh,
my
no.
My feet hurt so much. But they've held up great. I'd buy them again.
That's great, man. I know there's some people who really they log all the miles and they got the apps and stuff for that. But rather than get into that banter, I did want to start off with, I was going there before I asked you how you were. We're going to table some talk about Mike Tomlin's success or failure. We're going to table some talk about Ben Roethlisberger. So we're not ignoring these topics, but there's only so much we could do in each window. And let's face it, if we're going to be coming to you frequently and as consistently as we'd like, we don't want to like blow everything out of the saddle here and be a broken record every single episode. But there is one thing I got to cover. And I know there's some people, there are some comments that, of course, I warned them, don't come up in the mentions here. I'm gonna delete, get rid of you. You know, the Browns fans and things like that. But Brian, were we making excuses for the Steelers losing? Did we not say they got their ass handed to them? They got outplayed. I mean,
they got outplayed in one quarter. That's
yeah,
what they got outplayed.
Yeah, well,
they got outplayed in one quarter.
People have trouble understanding that. Yes, turnovers are a part of the game. That is the reason they lost. They turned the ball over more than the other team. When we said injuries, we weren't talking about really. I mean, in game. Okay, yeah, we're bringing it up. Cassius Marsh is a guy who came off this 49ers practice squad at the beginning of December, and he's out there playing the position that was Bud Dupree, who was franchise tag and is going to probably be one of the highest paid edge defenders in free agency upcoming, or so we would think.
And let me state it this way.
Yeah.
What was the final score again?
Darn you, I don't have it in front of me because I didn't want to relive this.
Less than 13 points, right?
Fewer than, let me see here, 48 to 37, so it was 11. I almost said 12 because I know they were down at 12.
11-point difference.
Yeah.
So take away the stupid fumble, right? Take away one of the interceptions. Steelers win the game.
I think so.
It's that simple. All right, so
but is that an excuse?
It's not an excuse.
It's the reality.
They screwed up. They blew it. But you cannot walk out of that game going, oh, the Browns completely outclassed them. They did not. But they did win. You can't spot, I've said it 100 times, you can't spot anybody. Anybody. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the Jets, your freaking JV team down the street at your high school. You can't spot that team 28 points and expect to win.
This game, if they wouldn't have done all this in the first quarter, this game probably isn't even this close because a lot of times, you know, this was quick strike and field position on a lot of it.
It changes the way the Browns game plan goes. It changes the way the Steelers game plan goes. It completely alters the game. Yes, they are responsible for the loss. Absolutely. The Browns played a good game. Absolutely. But did they outplay the Steelers? Not for three quarters.
And they did only what they needed to do. Oh, well, they played prevent and things like that. Well, no kidding there. You know, they laid back. Well, what do you think they did on offense? did the couple things they needed to do. You don't have to take huge risks and things of that nature. The game script completely changes, and they have a game script. When they have 21 or 28 points and Baker Mayfield's only thrown 6 or 8 passes, and they've only run the ball maybe a handful of times as well. I think they had like 13, 14 plays, and they had 28 points. Hello. You don't need a hit. You don't need any coaches on the sideline to do that. And everybody downplays the coaches, and we're talking about the coaches today on the Steelers side, at least. But, yeah, everybody talks about how Ben can just draw things in the mud. You don't think some of these other guys can do some of that? Of course, Ben's been doing it a lot longer and is probably a lot more efficient. But, no, I was just a little irritated that, you know, people were hearing it the way that they wanted to hear. And one thing we didn't cover was Vince. We covered the 4th-and-1. And they were down 12. And you know, I'm always trying to rationalize or get in the head of why this decision is made. And I'm not necessarily – and I wasn't like – I don't agree with it. That's the bottom line. Did not agree with it. And they could have cut the score down there, and instead they gave up some more points. But on the very next play, and mentioned in the comments, and we had forgotten this or maybe didn't point it out as much or pointed it out at the beginning or wherever be the case, was Vince Williams getting held on that big run. It was right after that. It was right after that, the big Nick Chubb run. And, you know, it got opened up because he was literally had his hands up in his pads and spun him around like a top.
Holding
like a lazy Susan.
If I'll tell you.
But that does not cost them the game.
No, none of this costs
No, not
them
going
the game.
For it on 4th-and-1 and maybe converting and closing the gap of the score costs them the game.
That may have cost them the game.
Yes.
That initial snap may cost them the game.
But Tomlin? Fire Tomlin because of that?
Come on.
If it wasn't for Tomlin and Tomlin got these guys back into this game. They could have just got whooped 48-3 or 48-6 or something like that too.
There is a how to say this correctly. Everybody is as far to their side as they can go. Be it right, be it left, be it up, be it down, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody is in the middle. Nobody says, you know, I get it. I'm not happy with this part of it. I am happy with that part of it. And let's see what happens. It's you either win every single year, which we've already stated would end the NFL as we know it, or you're gone. Well, that's not how it works. You know, I keep going back to the Geico commercial. That's not how any of this works.
Well, we're going to get to that with Tomlin and his success versus his peers, like an Andy Reid, who had always had the chip on his shoulder of not being able to win. Tony Dungy and Peyton Manning. Those are some other guys and teams loaded with Hall of Famers. Sean Payton with the Saints and Drew Brees. Even John Harbaugh here with the Ravens finally winning a game for like the first time since, what, the 2014 season that was played in 2015. They hadn't won a playoff game in like 5-6 years. So people like to bring up Tomlin's play. Oh, well, if you like this mediocrity, well, it's not mediocrity when the Steelers haven't had a losing season since what, 03 or whatever, that afforded them to be able to get guys like Troy Polamalu or move up and get Ben Roethlisberger in these drafts. They consistently draft late, et cetera, et cetera. But those are all things we're wanting to stay a little more focused on coaching and not necessarily head coaches, but changes to this coaching staff and the big scapegoat in the one. Yeah, you're doing a little dance there for sure. But, you know, we'll talk about that some more. I'm sure I've already ruffled some feathers. And quite frankly, I don't care because there was one guy that come up in here and was talking about I hate calling it competitor. You know what I mean? I don't really compete. We don't compete with other platforms or other shows, and we're friendly with quite a few. And then there's, you know, a few jerks out there that'll rip off everything we say, everything we do. They steal it. It's blatant. They don't care. They get away with it because they pay firms overseas to boost their followers on Twitter, so they look like they're more important than they really are, whereas all of ours are organic. This has all been built from zero, from the ground up. No shenanigans.
Speaking of followers, but I would like to get to 1,000.
Yeah, let's
like
get
that.
Brian there. Cannons don't.
I haven't been there forever. I've never gotten to 1,000. I'd like to be at 1,000. Just, you know why? Because my wife's at 2,500.
Oh jeez. Yeah, you know what? I didn't have a personal for the longest time. I'm over 1,000 now, and it's like I don't pay attention. They're vanity numbers. It's nice to have, you know, whatever we got, 4,000, 4,100, 4,200 YouTube subscribers now, and you know, we've done I don't even know millions downloads on the pod. So I mean, we're, you know, those numbers, they're exciting when you first get to it, but just to be told because we're not a-holes here and MF the team.
I know which comment.
Yeah, like a like another show or a Mark Madden or something like that. Then we're just, you know, a bunch of homers who don't know our ass from a hole in the ground. Yeah, it's just nonsense. It's like, and you know, there are things that we, why would we say them? You know, do folks out there understand? We had Juju Smith-Schuster and Zach Banner on to start the season. You know, oh, I'm going to go and just, you know, swear at these guys and cuss them out right now. It's like, that's not how this stuff works. You got, you know what I mean? Even somebody, even people when they're critical,
you
look at the way they
are. Professionally. That's
exactly.
What it is.
Have a shred of integrity.
Yeah, you can criticize, but you do it professionally. And I'm sorry, mm-hmm. just saying negative things like, you know, the Steelers home improvement store. there's my little knock at them. You know what? That's what I got to say. You know, big DB can come kiss my BT.
Oh, geez. Brian is just out there all over on he wants to pick fights with everyone.
F that.
So I doubt he listens anyways. It's all matter.
I'm sure he doesn't. But
even
if
he does,
come at me. Come
even
at
if
me,
he does,
boy.
He'll passively aggressively tweet it. They don't ever tag or mention anybody. I've done it a few times when stuff. We're not the only ones that have had things ripped off or stolen from whatever, and it's just,
well, you know,
it's petty high school drama. We don't need
after
it.
Me 1 year.
What's that?
What's his face? The Amish king sent his clones after me 1 year.
Yeah, it's enough on this topic. It's enough on this topic. I just, you know, people come to us because we're not always just the hot take kings trying to clickbait everyone into all this stuff. And the same thing with the Steelers coaching staff. You were doing your little dance, and I was just, you know, I just wanted to preface that. It reminded me of that because, you know, we're bypassing the whole Tomlin thing. He's not going anywhere right now, and he's under whatever contract another year.
One more year, I think.
Okay, so we'll see what happens. You know, if he really is on the hot seat, then he won't be renewed. That's the way the Steelers do business. They just did it with three guys right now and a fourth that retired. And according to Ed Bouchette of The Athletic, James Daniel, tight end coach, was planned. I mean, he's an older guy. He's in his mid-60s, I believe, 65 or something like that. And this was known going into the season. This isn't a reactionary, like, Eric Ebron, he sucks. He's a bum. Cut him. Get rid of him. You know what? And I was listening to Ed. He was just on XM Radio, I think, yesterday, talking about how Ben has to retire. He wrote an article about it, and he says that should be the best thing. But it was professionally done in good taste. He wasn't just like, you know, get rid of this guy. He absolutely sucks. He's more or less talking about Ben's up in age, the amount of money. This is not necessarily holding a team hostage, but it prohibits their ability to be more fluid with re-signing their own to be free agents and or others that may hit the market. And that's part of it. So people are going to go to audio instead of YouTube with all these video things you're always doing. I know I get long-winded here. I try and let you speak here or there. But let's get to this because, we're trying to keep these succinct, and we've already went on a tangent. But as you know, I've already been in a poor mood. I've been in a poor mood since Sunday. And then Monday didn't help any. And then Tuesday, the Pens lose to the Flyers. It's like, why even watch hockey now if this is going to be the way it goes? You don't care about hockey, so it doesn't matter.
What the hell is that? I don't even. I don't know.
But the little dance was done because of Randy Fichtner, and I don't think I don't think any of us here had any type of defense for him whatsoever, as far as retaining him. So moving on from Randy Fichtner, is that the right move for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yes. Well, I don't.
Is it going to P.O. Ben? Is it gonna P.O. Ben?
It doesn't matter. At this point in Ben's career, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter.
So he's through calling the shots, huh?
Well, he's got a year left.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a year left. At some point you have to address the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is that the play calling in many ways, shape, and form was terrible. And when he didn't, you know, when Ben took over, at this point, I don't know what they're going to do, which direction they're going to go. We'll talk about that. But was letting Randy Fichtner go? Yeah, he was at the end of the contract. This is the way they normally do it. They generally don't, you know, react off the hip and fire people. What they just do is go, thank you for your service. Have a nice day. And from all accounts, including ex-players and whatnot, Randy Fichtner is like one of the nicest guys in the universe. Great. I'm glad, as a human being, I wish him well. I'm glad he is no longer going to be the offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers because he wasn't good at it.
Well, yeah. I mean, he came from being – a lot of people were asking whether – you know, the uncomfortable situation of moving down the ladder back to being like a positional coach, potentially quarterback's coach. I don't know that they could do that. Nothing was personal here. And Fichtner had been with this organization for a very long time and worked with Mike Tomlin. And by all accounts, they were good friends. So, I mean, it hurts, but they're
probably still are.
Yeah, it's part of the business, unfortunately. And, you know, we're going to be talking about this with players, whether or not you bring some guys back, whether you let some guys go due to contract, the uncomfortable conversation to Ben here even. And Ben on his own is his own show. We're going to get to that eventually here.
Oh, yeah.
But right now with the news that we just got, you know, Randy Fichtner, and then I got a little more to add to Fichtner, but that's going to be down here with one of our other burning questions. I think we got five of them today. We're not actually calling them burning questions. Maybe somebody else does, but we're not a bunch of hacks that rip off other people's content. Bing! So anyways.
Bazinga!
Yeah, I mean, geez, oh man. I mean, even when you rip off like the branding and the logos that I create on some of the stuff, I mean, it's pretty pathetic. But anyways, and if they're listening to this, it's like they're just a bunch of marks or watching us to steal content. So you're one of the 5% still tuning in. Thumbs up. Surprised that Sean Sarrett is being let go. I guess let go. You know, some of the people are like, this person's fired. The Steelers, that's not really the – is that really the technical term? You're under contract. If you're a consultant and you have a 12-month contract, are you fired or is your contract expired?
It's just not renewed.
It's semantics.
You're not renewed.
I know.
Sir.
It's a polite way of saying yes. you're being let go. Good luck in your future
services
endeavors.
Your services are no longer required.
There's a lot of people who were, you know, they've been banging the drum about Mike Munchak when he left. He jumped ship or whatever. That was after 2018. Ray Fittipaldo gets the credit for pointing this out, and I know we've said it in different ways before, but his tweet was to the effect of, in 2018, when Munchak was still with the Steelers, they were 30th in rushing. And it was kind of surprising because James Conner was October's AFC Player of the Month, Offensive Player of the Month. Do you remember like the streak that he had there? And then, of course, he got hurt, and that started some of the nosedive with the playoffs. Of course, Le'Veon Bell never showed up that season either. How much of this was Bell? How much was it the patient style? How much of it was Munchak's input? Or was it because this was Randy Fichtner's first season as offensive coordinator? Ding dong! I think the light bulb's going off, but Sean Sarrett gets the axe too, and I don't know how fair or whatever that is, but, you know, he's been around. He's been around longer than Munchak is, and I guess he was supposed to be, you know, glean a few things by osmosis there and bring him over. And we know the offensive line didn't perform up to snuff, and we don't know whether that's because of age, because of maybe potential nagging injuries with maybe like a David DeCastro who missed some time, missed camp. There could be a number of things. The play calling that became very predictable because of Fichtner. So that's why I ask. I'm like, I was still surprised, I think, that Sean Sarrett was let go.
Yeah, I mean, so was I. I'm not shocked. Let's put it that way. I'm mildly surprised. And I think that part of the problem is you do have a O-line that definitely underperformed. The thing is, a lot of that isn't coaching. I mean, Alejandro Villanueva getting bull rushed left and right, not being able to basically block anybody for the majority of the season.
Especially who?
At some of the points, you could say, okay, some of it may be technique, some of it may be you need to coach the guy up. But when you're a veteran like that, it's not. It's just you're starting to wind down on your season or your career, I guess, and your abilities go off. What is that?
I don't know. I don't know how to do the funny things, but I got you this time. Let's see,
you did. I always watch you. I watch you. You don't pay attention to me half the time.
No,
I watch
what,
you.
What?
Half the time
I'm in a special mood today, man. I'm running on like 3.5 hours of sleep, and I'm still drinking coffee you know, in the middle of the day too. But
yes, so am I surprised? I am. Is it probably a good thing? Sure, because the quite frankly, when your offensive coordinator goes, a lot of times a lot of your positional coaches are going to go anyway, because that guy wants to talk about who the guys are that he wants. So it doesn't mean all of them are going to go. They may really like some of these guys, and so they'll stay, you know, and the next offensive coordinator will make the determinations on how they go from there, you know, to a certain extent, along with Mike Tomlin. I think it's reasonable to expect that this is going to be a much different looking offensive line next season anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And
whole other show coming too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. with that in play, why not start fresh with somebody that you have a lot of faith in? So, you know, give it a go.
Well, you know, I wanted to pull up to the Denver Broncos since Munchak went over there. And mind you, we had Philip Lindsay. I think Philip Lindsay actually was a 1,000-yard rusher 2019. I'm pulling that up right now. But just because, yeah, he eclipsed it by 11 yards, 7 touchdowns. But overall, they were 20th in the league in 2019. Now, this year, they were 13th. That's middle of the pack. I mean, you know, divide 32 and a half. You know what I mean? And especially since you're talking 1918, I mean, there's the Raiders were at 1916. The next team up, the Seahawks, was 1971. Cut their offensive coordinator, too, because Pete Carroll wants to get back to running the ball. And he has a stable of guys there. You got Chris Carson. They brought in Carlos Hyde because Rashad Penny, who they had drafted first round, mind you, for all you Najee Harris people out there, first rounder, Penny. Hasn't done anything yet. I know he's nagging injuries and things of that nature. That was our concern, too, when people are harping about why the Steelers, why not Jonathan Taylor? Be happy with Chase Claypool, okay? So, and also be happy with what you did to be able to get Devin Bush the year before, which, you know, when you lose guys like Devin Bush, I got to go back to this just for a second. You know what? No, never mind. This will be another show.
Don't do it.
This will be.
Yeah, don't do it.
No, because you know what? I wrote an article on the site the other day, and it was that stupid meme floating around, and it was like Steelers lost, blew a fourth quarter lead to so-and-so, and it was a lie. It was just a flat-out lie. They blew this fourth quarter lead. The fourth quarter lead was Swejum kicking a field goal with 10 minutes left in the game, and they're up 1 point. That's their fourth quarter lead when it's the only lead they had the entire game and came back. That's what they're hanging their hat on. Oh, they lost to Joe Flacco, like trying to diminish that Joe Flacco was. I get it. We made fun of him for not being elite, but look what the Ravens did there. They won a Super Bowl, and then, like I said, right after that, they were in the contention. They were in these AFC title games. They couldn't get over the hump with the Patriots either. It's just, you know, that's the way it was. But with the Mike Munchak thing, I think it's more Randy Fickner than Munchak. Now, when you had Haley and Munchak working together, and also Eddie Faulkner, the running backs coach, just hopped aboard 2 years ago. That was Jalen Samuels' coach in college that came over too. So I think it's a combination of those things. Sarrett, I think, gets on the chopping block there. Just, you know, there's something internally they feel where they needed to make a change, and yep, they're moving on. And I can't say that it's all just Munchak, 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 Munchak. And, you know, should they have promoted Munchak to offensive coordinator? We really don't know. We saw that he just wanted to go back and live with family in Denver too. So that's a whole other thing. We don't know if anything would have been any better here. By all indications, he has some first round guys there and stuff of that nature too over in Denver. It's not like the offensive line staffed with a bunch of chumps. And I know they're working with Drew Locke and whoever's been replacing him when he's banged up. So the passing game's not up to snuff, and they've had some down years and things of that. So there's all kinds of different intangibles. It's just a matter of, it's not that simple as saying this guy left, so everything fell off a cliff. That's not just, so anyway, Tom Bradley goes too. So he comes in as a DB's coach when Carnell Lake was shown the door with Joey Porter 3 years ago, this whole influx of changes. And you see the Keith Butler, the reason he's not going to be on this list is they've set 4 years straight leading the league in sacks and 69-70 games straight with at least one sack. And this is all this is Keith Butler here. This isn't Coach Dad Dick LeBeau. This is Keith Butler now in his defense, Mike Tomlin's fingerprints. He goes back to coaching some of the outside linebackers. And for 2 years now, when he started doing this, guess who's a defensive player of the year candidate 2 years in a row? TJ Watt. What did Bud Dupree do? Made everyone eat their words about how good of a player he could be, because he's assisting. He does have an assistant that helps because he is the defensive coordinator as well. But Keith Butler is not the issue here. Tom Bradley was brought in as part of, you know, this revamp of this defense and to help get the secondary up the snuff. Of course, they got Minka. They, you know, he's working with the young Terrell Edmonds, still had Joe Hayden. Mike Hilton has become, you know, has grown, has flourished. Steven Nelson, also a grown ass man, as we'd like to say. So the surprise here was Tom Bradley let go, although was his really like of the firing variety, or was Tom Bradley more, we don't know. Was it a mutual parting of ways? Does he want to go take a college job? Is he taking a year off? Does he have health issues? Nobody knows.
Is there tension between him and Terrell Austin? I don't know.
Yeah. So Terrell Austin was brought in because it was thought with all of these sub packages and using a lot of DBs, you almost need like guys for the corners and guys for the safeties as almost like two groups. Although there's a very gray line between how the Steelers utilize that as well. So we don't know if there's philosophy or other things here, but Tom Bradley, much like maybe even less than Sarrett, I can't speculate that this is a firing for change as opposed to maybe some other reasons.
Yeah, we're never going to know that until, you know, somebody opens their mouth, you know, and a lot of times that just never happens because this isn't, you know, this isn't breaking news kind of stuff, right? This is breaking news to us. It's stuff we're interested in and stuff that maybe some of Steelers Nation really doesn't even care about. They just want to know who's going to do what, right? So we may never know, but I don't think you can speculate it's performance based. They've done a great job on the defensive side.
Well, we're trying to figure out, aside from our last topic, which is, you know, the Randy Fichtner elephant in the room deal, but with the Steelers, are there going to be any other changes that are staff? I guess it would depend on if Matt Canada, who we're going to talk about in a minute here, quarterbacks coach brought over, offensive coordinator at Pitt and some other places and things of that nature, he's already interviewing what the Dolphins had reached out to Canada and
somebody else was going to too. I can't remember who.
Yeah, I forget. Maybe as a potential OC. But before we get to the OC stuff, we know that's a change coming. The other ones, we know they're going to have to find somebody to fill in those roles. Bouchette had said something about an offensive line coach that Tomlin once coached with in college or something. I forgot his name and it mind shot here. I don't foresee
Zach Mechler.
He needs a little more experience, but he's on his way.
Prof, come on, coach this O-line up, buddy.
Although we used to have the future John Gruden on our staff too, so I wonder how he's hanging in there.
Oh, yeah, get out of here.
Oh, crap. Man, if he's listening, I'm sorry, buddy. You know I'm not going to mention you by name.
I love you, but
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, pursuing his dreams. It's all you could say. Or
no, I think he could be a great coach. John Gruden, get me out. That's
what I mean. That's really
the part I don't like. John Gruden stinks.
Oh, and you're talking about paying somebody a lot of money. Urban Meyer, man. Hey, what do you think about that? You and I, Buckeyes guys. I don't take the money and run, right?
Yes. Take your payday, man.
You think he's going to last longer in 2 years? Is he Pete Carroll or Chip Kelly? I think he's a Chip Kelly. He had health issues. He couldn't even coach at the college level. Like, you know.
I don't know how he can deal. Like, he, you know, he's a guy. He's a rah-rah guy, right? Mm-hmm. These are professionals. I don't know. If he can adjust to it. Look, Urban Meyer is a really smart guy. We'll see. I'd lean towards where you're leaning. I'd lean more towards he's going to get his money and be gone and do a Chip Kelly. But maybe not. Maybe not. You never know. Here's the question. Does he take Justin Fields?
For another day. Apparently, he has a love affair with Trevor Lawrence, too, I guess.
Which I'm sure he does.
That's really going to – yeah, and can the Jags –
reminds him of Tebow.
Will they swap? Would they risk swapping out of the top spot? The Browns were not pegged for Mayfield. There was a lot of talk that Darnold was supposed to be their guy, wasn't he? And maybe, could they take like Lamar Jackson or something?
We'll see.
And they went Mayfield, and that's who I thought they were going to go. That was my pick for them, by the way. And we'll see how they do this weekend, too. We're not going to talk any smack until after we know the results, the same way the Browns fans were this week. So just hang in there.
I look forward to talking smack, though.
Yeah, but if Patty Mahomes goes out there and throws four picks and they go up 28-0 or something at half.
I'm going to talk smack on whoever loses. Yeah, it doesn't matter. True. I'm just looking forward to talking smack. That's all.
I just want to see the Bills beat the Ravens. And as much as the Bills fans annoyed me last year, there's a team that truly does deserve it for waiting so long.
How many Super Bowls have they won?
As many as the Browns.
There you go.
All right.
At least they've been there like 100,000 times.
I know. They need to like, they need to win one.
Hey,
Marv Levy.
I'm in on the Bills. I'm in on the Bills. I'm good with that. Marv Levy. Not that I'm rooting. Yeah.
is another coach. No Super Bowl, but he's in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, there's another.
My view is, at this point, I just want them all to lose. But if I have to have somebody win, why not the Bills?
Yeah, well, I'm going to needle whoever. And if it ends up being Baltimore and Cleveland in the AFC Championship, good Lord. I mean, there's going to be – I'm going to need a carpet cleaner to come in and steam all the vomit off of the floor. So
I'm out. Yeah, I won't watch that game.
So the reason we were mentioning Myers, all these sweeping coaching changes and things of that nature, I'm on record a few shows ago as already wanting Anthony Lynn, formerly of the L.A. Chargers, formerly San Diego, head coach, but he was also an offensive coordinator with previous stints here, there, or wherever, and I guess the Seahawks are already showing some interest with their opening. We know Miami has an opening. I think somebody else may have an opening aside from the Steelers as well. There's a few jobs that are out there. As far as replacing Randy Fichtner, I think a lot of people make it a foregone conclusion that it would be an internal hire, Matt Canada, especially since he's being shown interest elsewhere. Although, there are some people on board with my train of thought, I don't know if it's the same as yours, that they should get somebody like they did with Todd Haley. He got fired from the Chiefs as the head coach, and he was the offensive coordinator back when Ken Whisenhunt and the Cardinals played the Steelers in that Super Bowl. He was an architect of some good offenses, so was Anthony Lynn. So I think some people want somebody like that, Doug Peterson, who I'm more lukewarm on, somebody that has some other coaching experience like that, rather than maybe another internal guy who, you know, sins of the father. Just the apple doesn't fall far from the tree like Fichtner. What's your thoughts on this, Brian? I mean, for me, I would like to redshirt Canada a little bit longer, but you know, if he's getting looks elsewhere, maybe they can't do that, and they're going to have to offer him this job. But do they feel comfortable? Is that where they want to go, or do they get a veteran guy? I've banged my drum. I say I want Anthony Lynn. We'll see. There's nothing out there yet supporting just my opinion of who I want. No substantiated rumors, no beat writers, no anything saying the Steelers have interest or are talking to Lynn. So please don't take that the wrong way. It's just somebody I think they should look into. And they really haven't – there aren't any names yet or any rumblings. They're just – the only reason Canada's name comes up is because there's an opening, and they have been they've promoted or been known to promote the quarterback's coach up to OC. They did it with Bruce Arians, and they also did it with Randy Fichtner. So Matt Canada, a good fit, or would you want somebody else?
All right, I'm gonna blow your mind, because it's going to be a negative to one team that I root for to give us a positive. So Ryan Day has failed miserably to win a national championship, fire his ass, and then we hire him.
come on, no, be realistic.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to get Dabo Sweeney, too, and then fire Tomlin. And
no,
just
I don't,
the whole
I don't want Dabo
trouble.
Sweeney.
No,
Dabo
I don't
Sweeney
either.
Could pick my butt.
Sorry, Professor.
Anyway, look, there certainly is precedent to say that Matt Canada could be a candidate. And why wouldn't he be? They brought him here for a reason, because they liked something about him, right? But I'm more in lines with you. At this point, you really got to – it's got to be partly maybe determined by how they figure out what their next year is going to look like. If they have been, now you probably want somebody who is going to be able to serve his strengths, right, and come up with an offensive scheme that fits their last gasp run at a Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger. If Ben decides, I'm done, I'm out, you know, I spoke to the guy upstairs, and he said, go sit down, so I'm going to sit down. And that's that. You know, then – Now you've got a much more wide open kind of a look, because, it, you know, if you really believe in Mason Rudolph, then, you know, you need somebody to mold Mason Rudolph and build an offense around Mason Rudolph. Maybe you're looking and saying, let's look at the way the next few quarterback classes shape up. We need somebody who's going to be able to take that guy. Maybe that's not a guy that's in-house. Maybe that's a guy that's out of house. I don't know. I lean towards more of them probably getting a veteran. Similar to what you're saying, somebody like Anthony Lynn, somebody who has proven they can be a impactful, dynamic play caller. That's what they need. What the last thing in the world that Steelers Nation wants to see next season is draws on third and 12 or second and 12. You know, bubble screens out the wazoo. No passes going beyond 5 yards. A lack of a running game. You need somebody to revamp this, and I think that means you have to look at somebody who's proven that they can do it. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I was trying to see who is the guy that's been having his name, a couple names bouncing
McDaniel.
Around. But, well, Mike McDaniel, what is he, run game coordinator for the 49ers, is being linked to taking over that offensive coordinator position that's opened up. There was Darren Bevell, who was just recently an interim head coach with the Detroit Lions and served as their offensive coordinator the last two seasons also. And I guess Bevell has where did he coached with Tomlin over in Minnesota. He was the offensive coordinator there from 2006 to 2010. He's been an offensive coordinator with the Seahawks and won a Super Bowl with them from 11 to 17 as well. Had a year off and was with the Lions for the last two seasons. There's a guy with a heck of a resume who is currently unemployed. So provided that he wouldn't be retained by whoever takes over the head coaching job of the Lions. So I'm not sure what the contract situation is there, or if it's null and void. A lot of times your coach is going to come in, wipe the slate clean. If you're the Steelers, that doesn't always happen. Tomlin took on a lot of the previous guys, previous staff from Bill Cowher. So you have some of that as well. It'll be interesting to see. We're going to see if any names surface from this point forward. So we've mentioned what? Anthony Lynn, Mike McDaniel, Darrell Bevell, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Not Darren. And then Doug Peterson, a lot of people are going to say, man, I don't know. I think he's damaged goods right now. They chose Carson Wentz over him. You saw what happened with the last game with the Eagles. There's a lot of smoke around that fire. And we don't know how much of his success was actually linked to his success rather than offensive coordinator Frank Reich, who is now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts and doing pretty well there also. So yeah, you don't ever know. And Deuce Staley was the OC, just the most recent OC there. And he has a history in the whole state of Pennsylvania, having not only played with and coached with the Eagles
teams,
but with the Steelers too, a former Steeler. I was excited about him, and that never
injuries will kill you.
Yeah. Yep. Never really came to fruition, unfortunately, for the Deuce, you know.
That's the one guy I don't want is Doug Peterson. Not interested.
I agree.
Take your Philly special and stay away.
I agree. And then somebody was like, package them together. You can get Bevell and maybe Matt Stafford comes in and replaces a retiring Ben Roethlisberger. And I'm like, hey, I'm not anti-Stafford. I know there's some people that are, but that's
I'm not anti-Stafford.
Topic for another day.
I think you can give up on what are they saying? Because the Jets, who the Jets are looking at, or did they hire the guy? I can't remember.
Robert Saleh. Defensive coordinator of the Niners. Yeah, that was
apparently
he likes
Sam Darnold. So you can forget about trading for Sam Darnold, Eric.
Yeah, but we got a lot of things coming up, Brian. I know we're up against it. We're trying to stay within a window here and not go off on these long tangents like we did about thievery and being Jags and everything else of that nature. So there's plenty of that. Always look forward to your comments, even the ones that you can disagree. You can disagree with me. Just be smart about it, okay? You know, and if you're just going to come and say, oh, brownies, woo, 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 dog pound, yeah, get out. I don't need to read that garbage. I mean, good Lord, I have enough stress in my life. So I try to keep the ticker ticking as best I can. Brian, thanks for joining me once again, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Always.
Oh, I can just keep on going. I can't wait. We'll be chomping on the bit about draft priorities, free agent priorities. Is Mike Tomlin a bum? Should he be on the streets? Ben Roethlisberger the same. I think he shaved the playoff beard before you got to the playoffs. He looked a little clean shaven. I think that was the problem. You want an excuse? There's your excuse.
The return of mock draft insanity.
It's insane. Well, that'll do it for us. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, send hate mail, whatever it is you want to do. The email and the phone number or the text line is up. It's in the comments section as well, or in the show description, show notes. I don't know what the heck this stuff is that we do here. We are the least prepared team. We are the biggest homers in the world. We're proud of it. My name's Joe. His name's Brian. Until next time, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.